Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
As you've been hearing in the headlines, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service is creaking at the seams with increasing risk to children. That's what the Chief Inspector of the Mental Health Commission has found. Dr. Susan Finnerty said that parents seeking mental health care for their child cannot be assured HSE services are safe, effective and evidence-based. The 145-page report published today also highlighted that the distress and frustration of families trying to access a CAM service or any mental health service for their child was profound. For more on this, I'm joined by the author of that report, Dr. Susan Finnerty. Dr. Finnerty, you're very welcome to the programme and thank you very much indeed for your time this evening. It is a damning indictment of the service, in your review. No assurances, you say, that they that a child or a patient can have access to a safe and effective and evidence-based service. It's extremely worrying for parents and patients.
Yes, it is. It is very worrying. I cannot assure that all children in all areas can get a safe and effective service. That's not to move away from the fact that in other areas, parents and their children can get a good service. It is very alarming for parents, I think. But I think it will come as no great surprise to families that are already attending the service or who are trying to attend the service. We spoke with a number of family members and with young people themselves. And really, it was quite shocking to hear the stories that they have been through.
And you reviewed Susan, about 10% of files, but it's quite a forensic review. And let's go through some of the findings. You say there are huge gaps, deficiencies in corporate and clinical governance.
Yes, there are. There are gaps as you move up from the clinical teams. You can start to find gaps in the governance areas. This is where there are a lack of oversight of what's happening in CAMHS. And then as you go, you move up towards the more corporate national level, there are gaps there as well. So from that, you can conclude that there is insufficient oversight of what's happening in CAMHS. So everybody, all the teams are doing it quite differently from each other, a huge variation across the board with that.
And then with that gap or deficiency in corporate and clinical governance, I suppose it's no surprise some of the failings that you point to in relation to staffing, under-resourcing and frustration and low morale among staff.
Yes, we found that there was quite significant understaffing of teams, and some of them were as low as 46-48% of what they should be. Mind you, that staffing benchmark is 17 years old and does need to be reviewed. However, we don't have anything else at the moment. So yes, there was huge gaps in staffing from consultant psychiatrist level through the nursing staff and through the occupational therapists, psychologists and social workers and the staff care, the social care leaders as well. So it was very marked. And of course that means that waiting lists, sorry.
No, go on, go on, yeah.
Yeah, that of course means that waiting lists will continue to increase despite initiatives that have been put in place. But not only that, it will also mean that following assessment, that the internal waiting lists will also increase as children wait to see an appropriate therapist.
And you say because of under-resourcing and because of a lack of clinical governance as well, that some staff say, look, what is the point in escalating a risk? So there's a failure to manage risk as well.
Yes, there is. And that's at a number of levels. first starting off with the staff training in risk, it's not mandatory training. It's up to the people themselves on the teams whether or not they attend, although the take-up of training has been quite good. There are difficulties in actually identifying what is a risk. For example, you mentioned about the monitoring of medication and so on. That wasn't identified as a risk in a number of places. And then you've got whole management.
How could that be? How could a child be placed on medication and not monitored, and that's not seen as a risk?
I think the main problem there is that because, and we're back to clinical governance here, there's no audits, or there wasn't any audits going on about, you know, to have a look and see which young person needed to be seen, when they needed to be seen, when the blood tests needed to be done. And if you're not auditing, you haven't a notion of what's going on, and you can't improve the services if you don't audit.
Well, that is extremely distressing, isn't it? There were also 140 or so lost or files or open files, but they have since, and there was a review within a review, we should tell people as well, while your review was ongoing, an external consultant psychiatrist sought out these cases and these children and found, I think in cooperation or found in conclusion that there was, with you, or in conclusion they said that the children are okay, didn't come to harm, and that they are now getting the appropriate care. Is that right? Now, can I ask you about your conclusion there that you put in your review, that the children didn't come to any harm? How did you arrive at that conclusion?
Well, some of those 140 cases, first of all, the HSE had identified them themselves by the time that we had come to do our review. And some of those cases had appeared in our 10% audit. Now, 10% is quite a small sample size, but it does give you an idea of what's going on with the whole 100% of the patient cohort. So, some of those patients had come up in our review, 10% review, and we didn't find any indication within the clinical files as that any harm had come to the children. However,
can I ask you about that conclusion and how you arrived at that? Because we heard in Barry Lenehan's report from the solicitor representing some clients who may be associated, who may have gone through and did go through CAMHS, that he was unhappy with that conclusion, that no harm was done to children whose files were lost. Also with the conclusion that no harm was done to children on antipsychotic medication. Can you stand over those conclusions?
Yes, I can, because the 10% of files that we looked at 10% of the files, and we have a clinical advisor with us as well doing the CAMHS report, and we looked at those, and we looked at the entries within the chart and to see had they had any bad effects or any difficulties because they hadn't been monitored, and we didn't find any.
But it seems that some of the solicitors or maybe their families are seeking more verification of that. But that's where you stand on that. Can I ask you then, in terms of the staffing, the governance and so on, it really adds to a postcode lottery, doesn't it, in terms of the type of service that parents or children may get around the country?
Yes, it does. There's huge variation, Cormac, in what's provided across the country, and not only between the CHO areas, but also within them. So you get one team providing services at a certain level and in a certain way, and then the team down the road are doing it entirely differently. There's no standardisation across the CAMHS teams, which is very concerning. So everybody's doing their own thing. Now, it's not to say that doing their own thing is particularly, you know, it isn't risky, or it's not in any way a bad practice, but it's all different. So it's a complete postcode lottery. You're right.
Some of the recommendations as well, and we could be here all afternoon, and that is no exaggeration, is it, Susan, looking at some of the findings, problems with access, the governance, which we've discussed, the problems with medication, the lost files, the waiting list, the funding, the outdated model of care, which we've just touched on, the staffing, the IT problems as well. Some of the IT systems completely deficient or not there at all. But let's talk about some of the recommendations as well that you put forward. And they are quite urgent, some of them. You want a comprehensive strategy for CALMS and other mental health services.
Yes. Yes. I think to move this on, I consider, I suppose, this report to be a line in the sand. It's telling the way things are at the moment. This is what's happening. To move on from that, we need to have a strategy about the direction in which CAMHS is going. So that's absolutely essential. It's no point throwing money here, there and there, trying to shore up the system and trying to, prevent crisis. We need to have a strategy about what we're doing as a country in CAMHS. So that's
how quickly should that strategy be put in place?
I think within the next year, it should be up and running. And it's very important too that I must say this, that families and children, young people are involved in that strategy.
You're also looking for, well, that would be key, obviously, wouldn't it? And get their views on how, on foot of this, certainly. But you're also looking for immediate and independent regulation of CAMHS.
Yes. Regulation offers a basic standard across all areas that are being regulated. So if we regulated CAMHS, we could be assured that there'd be basic standardisation of clinical care across all teams. That would involve inspections, probably annually, initially certainly, of CAMHS teams and against standards or regulations. And then if the deficits were found, we could, or the Mental Health Commission could enforce action to remedy those situations. And that's really important because we don't have that power at the moment. And we're calling on the minister to actually have legislation that will allow us immediately to be able to regulate.
You're also looking for the implementation of these recommendations, that they be monitored with a yearly report, as you say, published on the progress of the implementation and so on. Can I ask you briefly as well, the oversight that you're looking for? There are 49, is it, recommendations in total, but you're looking for the oversight of CAMHS by a board of the HSE and all relevant committees. Who do you have in mind there?
Yes, I think the Health and Safety Committee of the HSC does need to oversee what's happening and receive at least quarterly reports on what's going on. They have showed an interest in what's happening in CAMHS after the interim report, and it's important that they receive proper and measurable progress reports on what's happening within CAMHS.
Okay, well, Dr. Susan Finnerty, thank you very much indeed. Mental health, Children's Mental Health Inspector, thank you very much, Chief Inspector. Thank you for joining us on this program and author of that report. I do have a statement that I can bring you now from the Minister on this review, from Minister Mary Butler. She's welcomed the report. She says it's important to note that the HSE have actively and proactively sought to remedy any concerns raised by the interim report in January of this year, and they continue to work to make CAMHS an accessible, modern, patient-centred service. The Minister says she also welcomes the Commission's positive comments in the report and note that many young people and their families had received excellent care and treatment through CAMHS. It's also important and reassuring that the Mental Health Commission's report has provided confidence that the issues around prescribing practice identified in the Maskey report in January 22 have not been evidenced in other parts of the country. And Mary Butler concluded by saying that improving mental health services for young people in this country is a priority for her and the government. The overall budget for mental health has increased by nearly 20% during the term of this government. £137 million is provided to child and adolescent mental health services annually, she says. In addition, more than €80 million has been provided to community-based mental health organisations this year, with a significant proportion of this dedicated to supporting child and young people. And that statement just in the last few moments from Minister Mary Butler. Dr. Susan Finnerty, thank you very much indeed. We'll get reaction just after six from the Ombudsman for Children and from Roisin Short, all of the Social Democrats.